doubter. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. I'm humble before the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I'm mature in the Lord. I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. This evening's scripture is coming from Philippians, the third chapter, verse 14. Philippians, the third chapter, verse 14, and it reads, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. I want to emphasize the word press in the scripture text, because in this instance, the word press could mean persist. And this is the year for striving of great persistence. And the title of this message this evening is The Persistence of an AI. The Persistence of an AI. Today, we live in a highly technical, shortcut society. We want answers and we want them fast. Sometimes the rate at which we want these answers may cause us to receive incorrect information. We want to figure out how to get the answers to the questions without really having to do the research. So what do? We go to our computers. Now, I'm not against computers, for they are a great asset to the world, and I don't know where we would be without them. But all around the world, everyone is getting so caught up in AI. And by AI, I am speaking of artificial intelligence. Someone may not know what I'm speaking about when I say artificial intelligence, so let me give you the definition. In layman's terms, artificial intelligence, or AI, can be defined as a branch of computer science that can simulate human intelligence. Simulate means to give the appearance or effect of. As I was looking at the definition of simulate, I saw some synonyms. A synonym is a word having the same or almost the same meaning as another word in the same language. Those are words that you can substitute or put in place of the word that you've looked up. Some of the synonyms that I saw for simulate were fake, pretend, and counterfeit. So if I were to read the definition and put the synonyms in place, it would read, artificial intelligence can be defined as a branch of computer science that can fake human intelligence, pretend to be human intelligence, or counterfeit human intelligence. Meaning it is implemented in machines to perform tasks that actually require real human intelligence. Doing things like reasoning and problem solving and quick decision making and learning. I've read that AI systems have the ability to learn from the repetition of a sequence of operations called algorithms. They're fed into the system. It's stated that this is exactly how machine learning can actually get better at doing their specific task without any external interference. Once you feed or enter the information into the system, it doesn't need your help anymore. If you want someone to learn, you have to teach. Normally, if you are teaching something that's alive or has life. We teach dogs to sit. We teach children to go to the bathroom. We teach students in the classrooms. When I say alive, I'm talking about mammals. Because, I mean, plants are alive, but I cannot teach an apple tree to grow oranges. All over the world, People are being told that AI is the way of the future. We see it on television. We hear it on the radios. We see the advertisements on the billboards, and we're starting to hear about it more and more in the news. AI is here, and it's here to stay. Even now, when we call businesses to inquire about something, first we have to speak with AI. Hello, customer service, please. If you tell me what you need, maybe I can help you. Customer service, please. If you tell me what you need, maybe I can help you. So after about 6 or 7 times, you know, I start talking back. I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to a human being. After a while, then it'll click over. It's almost like they're wanting you to talk to the computer instead of people. And people are disappearing now. What do I mean by that? Look at the stores. There are fewer and fewer people working behind a cash register. Now, I don't have anything against AI computer people, but in my opinion, we're starting to tread on some dangerous ground. I was at home for Mother's Day, and I was sitting in a barbershop. And as I was sitting there, a college student was talking to one of the barbers about the finals that they were taking. Now, I was just sitting there chilling. And I heard a young man say something that made me think, oh my God. And what he said was, the AI at LSU is better than the AI at Southern. He started to explain how students were getting the information for the papers, asking AI for the information instead of doing the research and writing the papers themselves. And I'm not saying that all students do this, because we have had some very, 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 very intelligent people to walk through these doors at Striving for Perfection Ministries. Power to the people. Amen. Please don't get me wrong. Artificial intelligence is being used everywhere. And the persistence of its use lets me know that it's not going anywhere. Now, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't heard of it being done, and I haven't heard of anybody trying it. But if we aren't careful, one day we may have a church service that is completely controlled by AI. I don't want AI to put AI in your head. I don't want artificial intelligence to put artificial information in your head. That is to say, I don't hate technology. I just want us to be mindful. Ephesians 2:2 tells us that the enemy is the prince of the power of the air. Satellites, microwaves, Wi-Fi, cellular towers, airwaves. Time is winding down. Recently, I've been hearing people say that time seems to be moving faster and faster. The other morning, I heard a news broadcaster say that she couldn't believe that it was June already. But if I were to look at man's calendar or clock in the natural, I would say that time is still moving at the same rate that it has always moved. But our spiritual clock is telling us something different. Our spiritual clock is telling us that time is winding down. And as you look around, can you see the tick-tock of the spiritual clock? Matthew 24:6-8 says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrow." If we look at all of the things that are happening around the world, people are starving. the senseless killings, the wars and the rumors of more wars, unheard of climate changes and natural disasters, and we've even had a pandemic. If we keep time by using our spiritual clocks, we can see time according to God, not time according to man. Time according to God is winding down. And I didn't need AI to tell me that, because it is written. The title of this message is The Persistence of an AI. But the AI in my title doesn't stand for artificial intelligence, but anointed individual. So in keeping with this year's themes, the title of my message is The Persistence of an Anointed Individual. When we make up our minds that we're going to follow Christ, the anointing of God puts the Holy Spirit in our hearts. This marks us and shows royal ownership over our lives, and it authenticates who we are and to whom we belong. In reality, all of Christ's messengers, you, me, and other believers, are anointed by both the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. God's anointing is for every believer. No one can justifiably claim any special status or ranking over anyone else. The work of the Holy Spirit is not just for people in upfront and in prominent roles of preaching and singing. Now, in my opinion, besides Jesus, the most persistent AI anointed individual to walk the earth was Paul. Before his conversion on the road to Damascus, he was persistent. He was persistent in his persecution of the church. He was so persistent and so bold that he was going from house to house looking for believers. Paul, whose name was Saul prior to meeting Jesus, was a bad man. He received written permission from the temple's high priest to rid the city synagogues of any who was a follower of the way. I wonder who they're talking about when they say, the way. Did not Jesus say that I am the way, the truth, and the life? So I guess they were talking about Jesus. His intention was to arrest those who believed that Jesus was the Messiah and escort them back to Jerusalem for punishment. But then one day, while traveling on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus and his life was changed, but not his persistence. You see, the same persistence that he used when he was attempting to tear down the church was the same persistence that he used to build the church up. The same persistence that he had when he was trying to quiet the gospel, he was now using to shout about the gospel everywhere he went. The same persistence that he had when he was persecuting Jesus is the same persistence that he has as he proclaimed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Paul's persistence in glorifying God caused him to suffer some things, just as you and I will suffer some things as we follow Christ. It may not be on the same level as Paul, but we will suffer. Paul was an AI, an anointed individual. Sisters and brothers, you and I are AIs. Although our encounter may not have been like Paul's, as believers, you and I have had a close encounter of the spiritual kind with Jesus also. So, AIs, it is important that we keep on pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This evening, I want to encourage all of you AIs, anointed individuals, to be persistent, no matter your opposition. When trials seem overwhelming, keep pressing. Be persistent in your walk. Be persistent in your studies. When you feel like you have your back against the wall, when you feel like there's no way out, be persistent in your prayers, and you'll find your way out. In our scripture text, Philippians 3 and 14, Paul said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So tonight, AIs, I tell you, press on, sisters and brothers.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He knows my name. I praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
To God be the glory. Amen. Father God, just get the glory out of the word, out of the message that I bring forth tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for Pastor. I thank God for Fabian doing the formalities. First, I want you to turn to your neighbor. It said, neighbor, please don't stop praying.
Don't stop pressing.
Because God hear your prayers. Help is on the way. Whatever you do, be persistent. Okay, let's talk about the year of the great persistence. James 1 and 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres, who stands under the trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Don't give up.
Amen.
Romans 12 and 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be content in prayer. Keep running. Now, let me tell you the meaning of persistence so you can follow me closely. In the Bible, persistence is a positive character, the quality that is linked with endurance and perseverance. It's commended when the goal is righteous, such as in prayer and faith, doing good and following Christ. There is the power. Jesus taught that one should pray and never lose heart. Having faith leads to greater faith, leads to following Christ in righteousness. You can't have persistence without seeking perseverance. They work hand in hand. Perseverance is the ability to keep doing sometimes of all time, doing something in spite of the obstacles. Being steadfast in doing, no matter how hard and how long it takes, perseverance. Some might ask, what's the difference? Or is persistence and perseverance the same? Let me try to explain. Persistence is the act of pursuing a course of action with the same energy and consistency. Perseverance is the same with the energy and consistency, but it is overcoming the painful circumstances. Anyone can be persistent when the pain, the failure, fatigue, and the boredom and fear is not present. But when all that becomes part of the process, persistence is no longer required. Now to continue on perseverance, it takes over when obstacles is in your way, when pain is there, when you look and don't see it, when you think God don't hear you, perseverance is there. Perseverance is the power you need to get where you got to go. Like I said, anybody can be persistent, but can I stand the trials of persecution? Even in the suffering, even in the pain, God is renewing our mind. He cannot use the old mind we got. Every day, God renew our mind because it's persecution. What persecuted me yesterday, it's not going to be the same today. It's going to be greater and greater and greater. Because as my mama's always told me, when the enemy come, when the devil come, the next time he come, he's going to bring his grandma, his sister, his mama, his brother, and the whole family. So you got to be able to stand. Constant pressing forward. We are reminded that even in our suffering, in the midst of pain, we see God refining us. Refining means renewing. Making us a new creature. We are called to endure, knowing that our hope in Christ will not be put to shame. Remember, our pain has a purpose. No matter what, when you go through pain, you got a purpose. All of our endurance power comes from reading and obeying the word of God. Without reading the word and obeying God's word, we may as well not be nowhere present. Just go home and go to bed. Because if you don't have God's word, you can't live in this world these days. Romans 5, 3 and 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out in our hearts to the one that he loved. Perseverance and persistence. Be persistent in prayer is vital because it demonstrates our unwavering trust in God, even in our trying times. We must approach God with our concern, our praises, and regrets, no matter how unimportant it seemed to you. We still got to approach God. We got to tell God everything we want him to do for us. Persistent prayer helps strengthen our relationship with God. If you don't keep praying, you leave yourself out in the open. By constantly praying and making it an everyday ritual, engaging in a meaningful conversation with God, develops a spiritual and a deep connection with him. If you look at the story of Luke 18 about the widow and the unjust judge, I tell you, when I read that, I said, God, I thank you. She kept going to him because she knew what was due to her. She will not give up. She kept going to him so many times, he got scared of her. Because even though he didn't fear God and he didn't fear his peoples, he feared her. Because every time she went to him, he could see God on her. But he turned his back. I'm going to do what I want to do. But she kept going. She kept in persistence. And she got what she asked for. She got it. He didn't know he even done it. He stepped back. He said, what did I do? All she could say in her mind, you did what I asked you and told you what God told me to tell you. He did not have no power. His power was gone, just like a blinking of an eye. Like Jesus was passionate about his prayer life, we must also be passionate too. When in emergencies, we must pray. In a non-emergency, we must pray. When we're pressed on all sides, we must pray. When we are weary in spirit, we must pray. When seeking God's word, we must pray. When family members come against us with false or true things, we still must pray because the body wants to take action. And we are supposed to let God fight our battle. But if we don't pray and ask God how to work this out, we'll get in trouble. Even in our marriages, it don't matter how good your marriage is. If it's toe down, if it's toe up, if it's sideways, or if it's good, we still got to pray. Because if you got a good marriage, you got to keep praying and let it be good. If you got a bad marriage, you got to keep praying and make it better. There is no emergencies and difficulties that God cannot do. Everything you bring before God has got to come subject to the highest power. While he was praying in passions, the heavens opened up. You hear me? When God was praying, the heavens opened up. Now, if God can pray, why can't we try it? We can try it. He said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Passionate prayer opens heaven. Luke 11:9, God's promise. He said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Each one of these are verbs of the present time. Translated, keep on knocking, saints. Keep on looking, saints. Keep on seeking. Keep on praying. Keep on asking. Jesus does not want us to give up. He does not want us to stop praying. He instructed us to be persistent. It is not, some people say, well, I don't need to pray. Their mind is blank. It's not, they say things like, it's not working. Okay, have patience. God didn't hear me. Get closer to God. I don't know how to pray. Stir to his word. His word is a teacher. It teaches day by day what to do. The word of God is a teaching scripture. I have done so many sins, okay? Give that sin to God. Let him deal with it. You stop messing with it. The more you mess with it, the more it's going to bother you. All these things come by much praying and studying God's word. Satan will make us give up the reading of the word and prayer when we don't have an enjoyment in doing it because of the lack of persistence. He will make you feel it was all of no use. He will make you feel the scriptures is not true. There is no use to pray when there is no spirit to pray. Make him out of a lie. Be persistent. Pray anyway. The truth is in order to enjoy the word. We must continue to read it. For us to enjoy God's word and the promises he has for us, we must continue to read his word. I can't make a grocery list out if I don't know how to cook. We must press and proceed. Remember, the less we read the word of God, the less we desire to read it, the less we desire to follow it. The less we pray, the less we desire to pray. Remember, God don't want us to be quitters. He wants us to press. He wants us to pray until something happens. Amen.
Worthy, we give ourselves away. Come on and magnify the Lord. We're here for power hour. Come on and charge this atmosphere. I'm not going to be before you long, but we need to charge this atmosphere. Come on and bless the Lord in this place. Come on and magnify the Lord in this place. I give myself away. My life is not my own. To you I belong. Anybody want to give themselves away to the Lord? Our life is not our own. You're going to be ruled by one or the other. I choose to give my life to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I choose to move by the power of God. I choose to move how God say move. Thank you, Lord. Come on and bless the Lord. Come on and magnify the Lord. Y'all ain't charging enough for me yet. Come on and bless the Lord. He said, well, one or two are in the midst. Well, one or two are gathered. He's in the midst. Come on. Did you gather with me, with God? Did you come in with the Lord? Did you come in with Holy Spirit? I know I did. So me touching and agreeing with you, we ought to be able to charge this atmosphere. It's power hour. Amen. I didn't come out here after a long day of work not to be charged and in charge and to be ignited and excited about the things of God. It is power hour. Come on, come on. You better plug in. You better plug in. You need to plug in. You need to plug in. I ain't going to be long. I promise you that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get what you need from God. Come on, get what you need from God tonight. Get what you need from God tonight. We done heard some good word come on through the night. We done got the good word. We done heard some encouraging word. We done heard some charge. I got another charge for you on tonight. Come on, but I need you to get what you need from God. Hallelujah. 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 It's the highest praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to say it enough to it. You just feel that thing all in your body. Hallelujah. Come on and bless the Lord. Come on and magnify the Lord. Come on, take a second and worship the Lord. He's been too good to us. He's been too great to us. He's brought us from too far for us not to praise him. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I don't get tired of praising God. I can't get tired of blessing his name. I don't get tired of praying to God. I don't get tired of saying, hallelujah, Lord, I thank you. Sometimes if you want to sit down, you sit down, but keep praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Give me a minute right here. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I walked in this place this morning with a screaming headache. Hallelujah, my head was pounding so hard. And I just began to just walk the floor and pray to God. And my head was hurting so bad. And it looked like the prayer wasn't working. It looked like it wasn't letting up on me. I asked Adrian to give me some Advil, or she gave me something. I took that. And it looked like it wasn't working. And it felt like it wasn't working. But I kept praying. I kept praying. I was persistent in my prayer. I was persistent in my belief. I kept on praying to God. I kept on talking to God. I kept on believing God that by his stripes, I'm already healed. And this headache is operating illegally, and it has to cease. Hey, God, y'all don't see me often, but since you got me right now, I'm going to praise the Lord, and I'm going to tell you how good God is. I tell you right now, I don't have a headache. Come on, you got to know when to praise God. My head is not hurting me, and I'm not saying that just to say it was something and it wasn't. I'm telling you flat-footed, it is not bothering me. Come on. He's still a healer. He's still a healer. He's still a healer. And while I still have breath in my body, I'm going to praise the Lord. Come on, this power hour. Somebody may need to know that. Somebody may be hurting tonight. Somebody might not feel good. But if you persistently pray and you persistently believe God, he will work it out. The natural body has to line up with the spiritual body. Hey, God. Come on, come on, come on, come on. This power hour. I came to charge you up tonight. I came to charge you up tonight. So you get the word and you can walk thereby with power and with authority. Ain't no weak Christians here. We're not going to say, yes, God is good. And he is. He's so wonderful. And he is. Oh my God. Sometimes you got to open your mouth. Hallelujah. We heard today how the devil is the prince of the air. And sometimes you just got to mess with the air. You just got to mess up the air. How do you do that? You open your mouth. You put your hands together. You disturb what's normal. In the air, whatever you've been hearing, the words of doubt, the words of unbelief, the words of depression, any of that stuff, you got to learn to speak the word and not just speak it all soft and wimpy. Come on, put some grit in that thing. The words say I'm healed. The words say I'm free. The words say I'm above and not beneath. The world said I can go and they did it. Come on. You better act like you know. I don't know. I'm from Miami 305 all day long. And God has done a work in me. And one thing about being from Miami, if you were scared, you couldn't show you were scared. Because if they saw you were scared, they was going to get you. Come on. That's for somebody. If you scared, you can't show you scared or they going to come get you. The enemy on your track, he on your tail, tell God thank you. That means you headed in the right direction. But if he see that you scared, if he see a door or a window where he could creep in and cause you to fall back on what God has called you to do, guess what? He got you. He got you. So we're going to be persistent tonight. We're going to do it scared. Hey! Woo! All right, let me bring that in. Y'all ain't hear me. I said, we're going to do it scared. We're going to do it scared. You hear me, Brother Wilson? When you opened your business, you wasn't all confident like this is going to work out perfectly. You did it scared, amen? Amen. Believe in God. Trust in God. That's how we got to do this thing. If you're going to be persistent in anything, you may have to do something scared, all right? All right, all right. All right, let me give y'all this scripture. We did all the thank you. To God be the glory. Thank God for passing all that stuff. I'm going to get right to the scripture so y'all can sit down. You ain't got to say it like that, bro, Will. All right, Joshua, verse 1. Joshua 1 and 1. Jesus. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over to Jordan, thou all the people, unto the land which I do give it to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that thou sole of thy foot shall tread upon, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, and then he go on to talk about all the lands that he gave him. But anyway, so I'm going to stop right there because I know my time is short, and I said I ain't going to be before you long. You guys can rest your feet. We already prayed, so we know God is in the place and he's covering us. Moses had died. Moses had died. And Joshua was given a charge to go over and possess. And I promise you, I think Joshua had served under Moses, where my Bible scholars at, for about 40 years. Joshua had served Moses. He walked with the man of God. He watched the man of God. He served the man of God. He was obedient to the man of God. He followed instructions given by the man of God for about 40 years, and then Moses died. And now Moses is gone. Now he is charged to arise. Let me give y'all the title. If I had to put a title to what we're going to talk about tonight, it's called Level Up. Level Up. Mm-hmm. In this walk of being persistent, we're going to have to level up. We got to level up. What you mean, Minister Virginia? What you mean, level up? We got to come up a little bit higher. We get the word. We are taught. We get the word. We are taught. We get the word. We are taught. But what are you going to do with all that stuff you're getting? What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? What are you persistent in this year? Have y'all thought about what you're being persistent in and what you're being persistent with? It's the year of great persistence, right? Level up. Level up. Because the way you think you should be persistent, God may shift that thing. And this ain't for everybody, but it's for somebody. God may shift that thing. So And leveling up, when you level up, it takes something from one position to another position to another position. Level up, right? You're bringing it from one space and one place to another space and another place. Joshua was following Moses for years, and now he had to level up. No longer is he the follower, he has to be the leader, right? He has to be the leader. Now he has to take all that knowledge that he gathered from Moses and apply it. Not only apply it, he had to continue and keep and dig deeper to have that relationship with God so that he can do not only what he was taught, but level up and do more. Because Moses didn't go to the promised land, right? So Joshua's getting ready to do something Moses hadn't done. Woo, that made me, y'all don't understand. That touched me right there. He's getting ready to do something Moses hadn't done. God anointed him and appointed him to do something that Moses hadn't done. And because God is who he is, Moses couldn't do it. Come on. When God called you to do something, he called you to do it. Mary can't do it like I do it. She could probably do what I'm doing, but she can't do it like me. Because there's a certain grace and anointing that's on my life. And once you learn to embrace the grace and anointing on your life, come on, you can walk heavy in that thing. Sometimes we're so scared to embrace the grace and anointing on our life as like praise team leader, Robin, but we got to embrace that thing and walk heavy in it. Because once we learn to embrace it, it opens the door for God to use us like he's never used us before. Come on now. We just got to be willing to embrace that. Got to be willing to embrace that. Why I say we need to embrace that? Because once you embrace the level of grace and anointing on your life, you're saying, oh, okay, God, my life is not my own. To you, I belong. I give myself. And once you give yourself to God like that, then he can use you. You say, God, what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Now, all right? Come on. Say it, Minister Lathan, caution. When you say my life is not my own, to you I belong, I give myself away. Beautiful. And we should. But be ready for God to shake up and shift some things in your life. Because what you know as norm may change. You see, Joshua was used to following. He didn't know how to go over and possess. He had to lean and depend on whatever direction God was giving him. Let me take y'all somewhere else. I think it was Zephaniah. God sent them to the brook. He said, go to the brook, and I'm going to feed you with ravens. And you're going to drink from the brook. God gave him the instructions of what to do. He did what God said do. And he stayed there being fed and drinking. He was fed. He didn't even have to go and kill. The raven just fell from the air. He was fed. He was covered. And he had water. And then the brook dried up. What he knew to supply him no longer was there to supply him. But God, you told me to go to this brook. God, you told me to do this. God, you told me to go to this job. God, you told me, yeah, but when the brook dries up, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. When the brook dried up, he had to be willing to hear from God, to get up from the brook, and then go where God was telling him to go. You see, what I'm trying to tell you and get you to understand is that sometimes in the midst of being persistent, the instruction God gives you, the direction to get there may change and shift. We have to be married to the goal. Write the goal in pen. Write the plan to get there in pencil. Write the plan to get there in pencil. Why you say that? Because we are human. We are in this flesh. We have learned to educate ourselves. We are master doctors, all these letters behind our name. We have learned everything. So we have systems in place for everything. But what happens when the brook dries up? What is a dried up brook? Stagnation. No movement. If it's dry, ain't no movement happening there. Now, he would have been crazy staying there steady trying to drink from a dry brook, right? So why do we stay in the position of stagnation? All right, I'm going to move on. We have to write the goal in pen, but write the plan to get there in pencil, because God may shift you to another direction. He said, go. There's a lady waiting there, and she's going to take care of you. He goes there, follow God's instruction, talk to the lady. The lady. Okay, Lord. I hear you. The lady had her own plan. She had her own plan in place. I'm finna bake this cake and me and my son gonna die. She had her own plan in place. And the man of God said, no, go bake me a cake. She said she was gonna whatever and go and die. He said, no, go bake me a cake and bring it to me. He changed her plans. He made her shift what she was doing. He made her change her plan of direction. And when she changed it, she was blessed. The other woman who, he said, go, he told her what to do. Go to all your neighbors, get all the oil and all that stuff. She started a whole new business, but she was ready to die. But she was ready to die. Sometimes the plan to get to our goal may shift. The goal stays the same. Soul winning, pointing people back to Christ. It should never leave from pointing people back to Christ. It should never leave from pointing people back to Christ. Our goal as Christians should never leave from pointing people back to Christ. Salvation. Hey, are you saved? Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? It should never leave from pointing people back to Christ. But how we do it and how we get there must shift. Now, I know the other night we had Bible study. What is too far? I ain't getting into that. Too far is too far. And you know when you're going too far. You know when that line of distinction has been crossed. You know when you cross the lines of distinction. You in your spirit know when you cross those lines as being a saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, baptized Christian. You know when you cross the line of distinction. Nobody ain't got to tell you. You know. If you are honest with yourself, you know. You know. So what has to happen when God shifts you? In your efforts of being persistent in where you're going. When he shifts your direction to things, you have to adapt, adjust, and overcome. Moses was headed to sacrifice his son because God gave him those instructions. As he was going, hand drawn back, willing to be obedient to God. His plan was to do what God told him to do. And his name was called twice. Moses, Moses, stay your hand. Look over in the bush. He had to be willing to abandon his plan to go with God's plan. Well, let me fix that. He was following God's plan, what God had told him. Hear me. But he was willing to hear what God was telling him. I closed the book. In this season of being persistent, we have to be obedient to what God told us. But we also have to be willing to hear to what he's telling us. What he's telling us. What he's telling us. Because times are changing. God don't change. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now, the process and how we do may shift and adjust based on who we are, where we're at, and what we got going on. We got to be willing to abandon our plans for God's plan. So tonight, I charge you guys. If we're going to be persistent going over to possess the land, to take charge over what God has planned for us, to be a part of leading people to where God is calling us to lead people to, we have to be willing to hear what God is telling us. Now, maybe he told you something, and that whatever he told you hasn't shifted or changed. That's great. Keep doing it. But make sure we're persistent in our prayer. Come on now. We're persistent in our conversation. We're persistent in our walk with Christ. We're persistent in reading our word. We're persistent in our worship. We're persistent in talking and communicating with God. What are you persistent in? Those are the main things we got to be persistent in, because we want to be ever so sensitive to the voice of the Lord. We want to be ever so sensitive to what he's saying in this moment. We want to be ever so sensitive to how he's moving in this time. We want to be ever so sensitive to what God is doing right now, because what he did last week won't help me out this week. What he did last year may not help me out this year. Yes, it's good for a testimony. Yes, it's good to help me remember what he has done, but what is he telling me to do in this moment? We got to be willing to get up off our seat and off our plans of what is our norm. We got to be willing to step away from ritual and move into relationship. Come on now. We got to be willing to move from routine to relationship, from ritual to relationship, from mundane to relationship. Relationship requires communication. Relationship requires not just any communication, effective communication. Relationship requires me to talk to him and him to talk to me. Relationship requires me to compromise when he say, don't do it, Virginia. That ain't where I'm taking you. My relationship with him, because I love him so much, lets me abandon my plan and do what God's plan has for me. Come on now. My life is not my own. To you I belong. Who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? Who are you giving your life to? Who are you saying I give myself away to? Because whether you realize it or not, you're saying I give myself away to God, or I give myself away to the devil. The truth be told, they used to say you can't straddle the fence. Don't get me wrong, nobody's perfect. We're striving for perfection. That's why I said we got to do it scared. I ain't got it all right. But one thing I know, that if I talk to my God Jesus, if I talk to my Daddy Jesus, if I talk to my Abba Father, if I talk to the one who gives me life, if I talk to the one who has the key of life and death in his hand, hey, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. I may not talk right all the time. I may not dress right all the time. I may not look how you want me to look. I may not talk how you want me to talk. But if my relationship with God is all right, then I'm all right with God. If my relationship is with God and I'm communing with God, then I'm all right with God. All we have to worry about is if our relationship is persistent with God. We have to be in persistent pursuit of a relationship with God. Come on and bless the Lord in this place. Come on and bless the Lord in this place. Come on and magnify the Lord in this place. Come on and bless the Lord in this place. Persistent pursuit of real relationship. Not that phony, hey, how you doing? No, real relationship. God, I don't feel good. God, I'm dirty. I'm a mess, God. God, I need you to help me. God, I don't know what to do. Real relationship. Real relationship will let me come boldly, naked, unashamed. And it covers me. And it covers me. It teaches me. It shows me. Real relationship. My daughter could come to me for anything, and I'm going to cover her. And I'm going to show her, and I'm going to teach her, and I'm going to guide her, and I'm going to lead her. I'm not going to let her stumble. I'm going to warn her. I'm going to shield her. I'm going to protect her. And if I do that for my daughter, what would my heavenly Father do for me? Come on and bless the Lord. Hey, glory. I'm done. Is anybody ready to get out of routine? Anybody ready to get out of what's ritual? The norm. Anybody ready to get out of that? This is power hour. This is power hour. What do you mean power hour? This is where you plug in. You put your hands up and tell God whatever you need from God. Just turn it over to Jesus. Reach up and say, God, I need you. God, I love you. God, I need more of you. God, I need a way out. God, I need help with my finances. God, I need help with my health. God, I need to... Come on now. What you need from God? 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 I can see this plug right here all day long. I can hold a light bulb in my hand, and if I don't plug it in, it's in the building. It's in the building. But if I don't plug in, there's no light. It won't shine. Hey, God, I'm done. Come on and bless the Lord. Oh, I'm done. Come on. If you need anything from the Lord, come on and meet me down here. If there's anything you need from God, come on and meet me down at this altar. Meet me down here at this altar. Anything you need from God, come on and meet me down at this altar. My God, now God be who he is. I don't have to come and put my hands on you. Hallelujah. God, yeah, de bokoro wosia. Rabakadeshia. Put your mind on what it is you want from God. What it is you need from God. Put your mind on it. Come on. If you have that heavenly language, go ahead and pray in that heavenly language. We got to do something different in this year of persistence. Come on and bless the Lord. Come on and pray. Pray. Hey. Father God, we bless your name, God. God, we magnify you, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for the petitions that are going up right now, God. God, you know each and every person, God. You know each and every one of them, God. You know each and every need, God. You know each and every want, God. God, you know their heart, God. You know the thoughts and intents of their heart, God. God, we ask right now, God, that you grant them their desire, God. If their desire please you, God, grant them their desire, God. God, we ask that you open their eyes, God. God, let the scales fall from their eyes, God, so that they see that it is more for them than against them, God. God, we thank you for being a shield of protection around them, God. God, we thank you right now, God, for making ways out of no way. God, we thank you right now for healing the body. God, we thank you right now, God, for increase. We thank you, God, for this charge tonight. I decree and declare, God, that you begin to stir up every gift on the inside of them. God, I thank you right now, God, that as they do it, if they got to do it scared, God, that they do it, God, that when they leave this building, they are no longer the same, God. God, we thank you, God. We thank you, God, for charging them in their spirit, God, for moving like never before, God. We thank you, God, for even their homes being charged in the name of Jesus, that when they leave this building, God, and they get to their destination, God, your anointing is still flowing, God, and they're still walking through their homes, God, in the name of Jesus. Everywhere their foot shall tread, Everywhere their foot shall tread, God. God, we thank you for new businesses right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for new opportunities in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you right now, God. There's none like you, God. God, we thank you for calming the noise in their head, God. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God is calming the noise in your head because you have talked yourself out of doing what God has called you to do long enough. And he's silencing the noise in your head in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, it may be scary. Do it scared. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, and we thank you for doing it for us. We forever praise your name. We forever glorify you. We forever magnify you. We receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. If you receive it, say, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen.